Have you ever tried building habits, you know, like these ones that you hear about eating healthy, you know, going to the gym, having cold showers, waking up early in the morning, right? I feel like you've given a try to at least one of these habits. But the most important question that I want to ask you is, have you stuck to it? And the chances are probably no, because now I know you would say they're hard. I agree, I absolutely agree. And that is why if you stick around till the end of this episode, I'll tell you how to build habits that stick. And if this is your first time here on this show, let me tell you, I share relatable stories every week on this podcast to help you never feel bored again. So consider subscribing to never miss out on future episodes because trust me, you don't want to be feeling bored. And this is the place to get rid of your boredom. Let's get into this episode without any further ado. Okay, before I talk about habits, let's talk about multitasking, right? Because I feel like they're somewhat interrelated, right? A lot of people, when they are speaking about productivity, habits, management, and you know, like all that stuff, they say, I can multitask, right? So let me just orate the definition of multitask. Multitasking of a person deals with more than one task at the same time. Now, like, Ryan, why are you explaining to me multitasking? I already know, right? And you will be saying, I multitask all the time. You're playing your games and you're studying, right? I get you. Like, watching Netflix and doing your homework, I absolutely know. A lot of people do multitasking. Human multitasking, the new definition of what I want to tell you is, human multitasking is the ability to perform more than one task or activity at the same time, such as speaking on the phone while driving a car. Multitasking can result in time wasted due to human context switching and becoming prone to errors due to insufficient attention. I know, like, now people are like, I didn't know this definition. Like, where did you get it from? Google, my friend. But that's not the point here, right? The point which I want to make is in the next question, which is it possible to multitask? Now I know that was exactly what was on your mind. Let's answer that question. The problem is, there is no such thing as multitasking. As multiple studies have confirmed, true multitasking, that is doing more than one task at the same time, is a myth. People who think they can split their attention between multiple tasks at once aren't actually getting more done. Now, for sure, like, your body isn't getting stopped, right? I can move this mouse here and I can type on this keyboard, right? Multitasking, like, you're doing two tasks. Very lame example, but you can get it, right? I'll give you a much better example, like listening to music or podcast, and you know, like doing your workouts or doing something, right? Doing two things at the same time, right? Multitasking. Now, the thing is, you can only give attention or your full attention, right? Full attention, right? At one thing. When you're doing two tasks, you're definitely splitting your attention, right? You're not giving it one thing, you're 100%, right? That's why you're doing two things. I'll give this example, this beautiful example, as I just said, listening to music and doing your tasks. Now tell me if this has ever happened to you, right? Hashtag relatable moment right here. And if this example you're able to relate with it, drop a like on this video. But before you drop the like, listen to the example. You're listening to music, you put on your nice headphones, earphones, whichever you prefer, and you put on your favorite playlist, right? And you start doing some mundane tasks such as copying notes, or you're doing some just copying a bunch of stuff, such tons of writing stuff, right? And then you get into the writing process. You open the book, you open the pen, you touch the nib to the paper, and you start transcribing. You start seeing the notes and you start writing. After writing for almost a page, you start reading the words, and you're reading the words and you're writing. And some in the midst of that process, you forget that you're listening to music. Your mind blocks the music, like the music is going on for sure, but you're focusing on the notes, right? You're looking at the sentence and you're copying the sentence. Your mind is completely focused on the sentence at hand that it just blocks out, like even the music is on. Tell me this has ever happened. I have done this so many times, and it has happened to me so many times. No matter what is playing on my ears, no, if I'm focusing on something else, my mind will just block everything out, and that is why you can't truly really multitask. If you aren't giving something your full attention, that means you're not multitasking. It came out the wrong way, but that's what it meant, right? Because I was giving it my full attention, I wasn't able to multitask. That is, I wasn't able to hear the music. So just try to come on level with me. Come on level with me. Are habits and addiction the same, right? Or habits can be best understood as. So many people ask, like, Ryan, what is habits versus addictions, right? Both feel the same, right? Both the activities you do, like, you know, like regularly, right? If it's an addiction. So let me explain to you the difference between them, because I have a feeling that you aren't aware of and there's a very fine line of difference between a habit and an addiction. So let's get into that and explain to you. Habit. a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. Your bad habits. you are not planning to give up on good habits. So that last part of the phrase wouldn't be applicable. Versus addictions. Addictions, the fact or condition of being addicted to a particular substance, thing or activity, right? So the definition itself is phrased differently, but both of them, in both of them you practice an activity, right? Habits can be good or bad, and so can be addictions, depending on the respective habit or addiction, right? You are addicted to studies, right? It can be good for your academics, right? Like you're studying a lot, so you're definitely going to have outputs good. Overstudying, again, addictions, there are again bad effects of it. Your eyes may get damaged and all the other stuff, right? Sitting in the one place, studying a lot. Even your habits, good habits such as waking up in the morning early, go to the gym, eating healthy, good. But then again, there are bad habits like procrastinating and all that stuff. So again, habits can be good and bad. Addictions can be good and bad also. It depends. When does a habit become an addiction, right? So you don't. When you become an addict and you get into the addiction, right? It starts from a habit to an addiction, and it escalates. You don't get addicted to something really quickly. It becomes a habit first, and then it goes into an addiction, right? So I personally like to think of habits as strong and addictions as stronger. Try to use that. Comparison to understand it. So when a habit starts interrupting and disrupting your life, it becomes an addiction and an issue that needs to be addressed. How to build habits. Now this is the part of the podcast that a lot of you are super excited about. Yes, Ralin is going to spill the tea, the secrets that I don't know. I will finally be able to practice all the good habits that all the billionaires of the world do. Hold on. Why are you so excited? Just listen to me, okay? I could have picked any of the other shit on the internet on how to build habits or watched any other people's videos. But I'm going to share what has worked for me, and it may not work for you. Okay? So listen to this with a grain of salt. It's quite a different method and very annoying before I begin. Okay? It's a very annoying method. But it has worked for me, and you can give it a try. If it works for you, the comment section is down below to let me know. But let's get into the secret that I've been using to build habits. So I call it the alarm clock technique. Our phones have alarms, right? Most of us use it, a regular person on a day-to-day basis would just use it to, if they have some chores, some deadlines, yeah, you use it just to get yourself reminded that you need to get them done. And the far majority of us use it just to, in the morning, right, to get up for our school, your work, your colleges, your classes, all of that stuff, right? But then come people like me, content creators and other people who build habits, right? So I use it in a different way. I think I spoke briefly about it in a previous podcast too, where I said I use tons of alarms on my phone just to remind me when to post on social media platforms, because it's just ridiculous amounts of things to keep in the mind and to keep track of. So let's talk about this alarm technique, okay? I'll give you this example too. I'm an ectomorph, a skinny, hard gainer, whatever you want to call me in reference to fitness terms. I cannot build weight. So what I need to do, definitely work out, obviously, have rest, and in short, and eat a lot of calories, be on a caloric surplus. Now, we as ectomorphs, we think we're eating a lot, but we're not actually eating a lot. So what you want to do is track your calories, that is, track down what you're eating and how much you're eating. So I've made a nutrition log. It's right there, which I'm not going to get up. Okay, I'll just continue a little bit more further, and then I'll explain to you what it's all about. So this nutrition log, aka this book I've made, I've written every single meal, every single grain that of food that I've eaten, whether it be salt or sugar, I've written every single thing of it, what I've eaten since the past year in this book. Breakfast, lunch, snacks, dinner, and middle. That's the sections I've made on every single day. So like on these meals which I'm having, anything like your meals, I'm going to write them down, the quantity I've had, and on the middle section, what if I've had anything between the meals, right, just to fill them. So now obviously it's like somewhat of a journaling, right? You're writing every day down something in it, like, so it was some sort along those lines. So just now, again, we are coming back to the future. I have filled almost a year's worth of stuff. I've written every single day what I've eaten for a year, and still going on. I'm still writing, right? I've been writing in that book since a year. I can still know what I've eaten last year on this day. So does that make sense? So it all compounded, right? Since I started this habit and now I'm addicted. So how did this start? Right, now starting this habit was very difficult. Like I'm eating the food, now I have to remember to write it down. Right, now this is going to be difficult. So what did I do? I set up alarms, 4 alarms in a day, after breakfast, after lunch, after snacks, after dinner. So after every meal I had, there was an annoying alarm, which reminded me to write it down. So I after in the middle of food, I had to like go and off the alarm. Who likes the sound of alarm? Just, you know, like sirens just ringing. So this was the case for me. Alarms kept ringing, you know, like ringing, ringing, and I was like getting infuriated, like so angry. And I'm like, okay, I have to write, and I'm like just going to, you know, like burst. I'm like so annoyed with this, right? And and then the thing is, I built the habit, right? A few weeks into this, after the stupid alarms, and I'm just going numb to them. I myself, after eating food, I come to my room, I open the book, and I start writing what I've eaten. I start writing in there, and then the alarm rings, and I'm like, I already know, right? So I should stop the alarms. I don't. So I keep them on for a 2 months, or I almost right 2 months. I've already built the habit, I think, right? But I still keep them on for 2 months, and it was annoying for sure. But I built that habit so well that after 2 months I decided like this is unnecessary. Now I'm writing what I'm eating before I'm eating, while I'm eating the food itself. So I don't think I need these alarms anymore. So I removed these alarms, and guess what? This worked, right? This technique, because after that I didn't need the alarms. I had built the habit, and it had come into my routine. So every time I had a meal, I used to come and write. Assume I'm not at home, I had something outside. No problem, I come at home, I write whatever I have had throughout the day in the respective slots. So anyways, this was the technique, the alarm clock technique, which I used to build the habit of journaling, you know, like tracking, that is my calories, macros, and all that stuff, which I've used. I've used the same for all of my other habits, like working out, you know, like having constant alarms. The thing is, it's subconsciously, you know, like we are very weak creatures, like our willpower, right? If we are sitting on the couch and we know it's time to work out or to eat healthy or something, or to make a consciously right decision for the habit, and if there is nobody in our vicinity or surroundings to help us hold accountable, we are like, we'll just do it later, and we procrastinate, and we're not able to do it. So, and not everybody, like your mom is just free every day, or your friend is free every day to just take care of you, right? Everybody has things going in their life. They're not going to call you and irritate you and waste their time trying to hold you accountable, right? We are not so benefited enough to have such angel friends to care so much for us, right? So we have to find another technique. That's why the alarm comes in, right? Alarms will keep you accountable because they will annoy the hell out of you. And even if you're going to forget, bam, the alarm clock will. Why am I calling it the alarm clock? It's the alarm, right, in the phone. So basically, the alarm will remind you and hold you accountable. Again, it's up to you for dismissing and snoozing it. So again, if you're dismissing it and you're not doing it, then it doesn't serve the purpose, right? But this is again a technique which I personally follow. You can do it to any habits. It depends upon you. You have to wake up at 4 o'clock, put up alarms at 4 o'clock, or every like 5 minutes ago, so that you get annoyed, but you make sure you wake up. So make sure you put alarms for everything. Again, if you have a good memory, perfect. But if you're having a bad memory, it doesn't hurt to put tons of alarms right there. I mean, it definitely helps. Okay, are habit trackers useful, and which habits to track? Now, this is a great question. Habit trackers are useful. Yes, they help indicate progress. I think you should track all habits. Tracking all habits in and of itself should be a habit. It helps distinguish progress and sparks motivation to go even harder. Now, let's take a simple example. Eating healthy and working out, right? Simple examples. You're recording, tracking these two individual habits, and now you have to track these habits. I'll explain. You eat healthy one day, and what you eat, so like you're getting healthy. Eating healthy, you're eating healthy over a period of time. So what are you tracking in the habit itself? You're getting healthy, right? You're losing weight or whatever your case is, and etc. You're working out, right? Are you getting the muscle gains? Perfect. So are you gaining weight, losing weight, whatever your workout agenda is? You just I hope I'm not being too ahead of the microphone for it to catch the audio, but anyways, so you're working out. Okay, so are you getting the muscle gain according to your this? Just track that down. Now, from the outside, track these habits. How many days have you been eating healthy, and how many days have you been working out? So tracking the habits should be in and of itself a habit, is what I'm saying. Yes. Can habits be changed? Yes, absolutely. Why are habits hard to break? Now, this is again in relation to the previous question. Okay, listen to this. However, bad habits are really just bugs in the system, and with few dedicated techniques, it is perfectly possible to deprogram them. Our brains work on a trigger and reward basis. The so-called habit loop, which means it is easy to slip into a routine and difficult to fight back when the undesired behavior occurs. This is the same with bad habits mostly. When you're trying to get rid of a bad habit, the thing is you've been practicing it frequently, regularly for a long period of time. And now all of a sudden, if you just want to quit it, yeah, I get that. It's absolutely nice. But assume you do the bad habit at 4, XYZ bad habit. Okay, it can be anything. At 4, right? You do it every single day at 4 o'clock and it's just worsening your health and you're not happy with it. So you want to quit it. Good. So you stop doing it at 4. Now you have to replace that habit with something else, right? Just to occupy that. Because you reach 4 o'clock the next day. You might want to quit that habit, but your body is habituated to performing that habit. So it will, you know, like subconsciously maneuver you into, manipulate you and make your mind feel like it wants to do it. Like it's the same with your addictions, like you're drinking alcohol, you're smoking. If you don't replace that with something else and just leave that 4 o'clock time slot empty, you're just not doing anything. You're just trying to do nothing. That's a recipe for failure. So try to replace that bad habit by something else, like a good habit preferably, so that your mind is not making, because if you're doing something else instead of the bad habit, your mind cannot go back to the bad habit because you're already performing something else. What habits can change your life? This is a good one. Go for a social media detox. I think I've spoken about this in my Instagram episode, which I don't remember the episode number of. Must be in the catalog, just search it. But anyways, social media detox. I feel like I was reading this article on Instagram the other day, which it was saying, how do you know whether you can't live without your phone? And one of the it was a carousel post. And the first post was, you cannot live without it if the first thing you do in the morning is check your phone and the last thing you do in the night before sleeping is check your phone. And hey, I'm guilty of this, right? I wake up to my phone and I sleep before seeing the phone, right? And what do? Right? We are checking social media, right? We're not for gamers, it must be games, but for most of us, it's social media, right? So I guess it's ruining a life, right? Getting up in the morning and watching news. Again, I just heard that PUBG Mobile got banned in India. This podcast is coming 4 months ago late. So like 4 months ago, it got banned. Anyways, so the first thing you're getting up, you're listening to tragedies and all that stuff, right? Again, I didn't play that game, so it didn't affect me a lot. But I assume for the people who played, they definitely miss it. Just assume your favorite activity getting banned. Yeah, you definitely feel bad. But anyways, so go for social media detox, as in just stop using it, dude. It's like getting up in the morning and watching negative influences, all the bad news and all that stuff, you know, and all that. You have that alarm clock at 7. I want to get off to the start and have a great day. How do you expect to get up at 7 o'clock and browse the social media for 30 minutes and start off a great day, right? It's a recipe for failure. Second is master the art of listening. If you're listening to this podcast right now, you've absolutely mastered the art of listening. You're listening to me rant for 30 minutes or every episode. I appreciate that. Thank you for the watch time. But yes, you have mastered the art of listening. The more you listen to my episodes, you will master the art of listening. Jokes apart, whenever you're in conversation with other people, just try to speak less. You know, and you know, you want to speak, just don't cut them off. Let them complete sentences. And when you know they're not going to speak, you answer them back or start a new topic or vice versa. Just stop cutting, you know. Sometimes I realized, like, I was watching this another video which said which things we could get good at, and it was at listening. We often, after we hear people's problems, we are often very quick, you know, guilty. You are guilty here. Just ready to pounce on them, and you know, like, you do this, you do that, and we just pound our solutions on them. But at times, these people who are not in a good place, who are going through something, they just want people to listen to them, you know, like, listen to their problems. So just listen to them quietly, just listen to them, understand them. Okay, just they want to talk, let them talk. That's all. Okay, to make time for exercise, self-explanatory, appreciate more. Yes, just start complimenting more people, not to girls. Okay, girls get enough compliments already. Your mother who prepares food for you every day, you know, just give her a hug, give her a kiss on the cheek, appreciate her. Your father and your parent, your relatives, everybody, you know, if they do the slightest of good things, start appreciating them, you know, like be more thankful for them, right? Just because like they have been doing this and it's become a regular routine and they are doing this favor for you or something like that. Just don't like stop appreciating them. You know, appreciating people goes a long way. People remember that. surround yourself with positive people. I mean, here is the big ball of positivity right here, doing the ball rock of positivity. Anyway, so like, yeah, if you surround yourself with negative people who are negative influence, doing negative things, peer pressuring you, talking about bad things, inappropriate things, you know, your mind tends to think about these things and bring down your life. If you surround yourself with very ambitious people who want to do great things in life, it will motivate you. You can learn from them. Highly intellectual people, hardworking, smart working, and all these people. Can habit be good, and why are habits good? These are the two questions. Yes, habits can be good if you choose the right ones. And habits are good because they bring about positive change or increase in a particular aspect of your life. Again, depends on the good habit you have chosen. I think, so let's take some examples of the statement I just said, right? Eating healthy would definitely help your health. Working out would definitely keep your physical well-being and mental well-being, definitely. Cold showers will definitely help your skin because it's not so hot, and help your hair, skin, all that stuff. And the discipline aspect of it also, of this. Getting up early in the morning will definitely help you from oversleeping, as provided you sleep appropriately early, and it will give you a head start in the day, lots of time and all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, yeah, so positive increase, change and all that stuff I was saying. It can be in your health, career, relationships, etc. Those areas you may see benefits to practicing good habits. Which habits helps in the promotion of mindfulness? So what is mindfulness? The quality or state of being conscious or aware of something. Okay, so these are the things you can do if you want to practice mindfulness, okay? Sit in the morning, appreciate and be grateful. Now, all of us have hectic lives, right? We have offices, I don't. Some people have, obviously, right? We have schools, we have classes, we have colleges. So yeah, we just get up and we're just like chomping the breakfast or anything. Obviously, we are not going out in this lockdown, but we used to, right? And even if we don't, we are getting up in the morning to go to the Zoom meeting, right? So our lives have become very hectic, right? So what this point is telling you is, sit in the morning to appreciate and be grateful. Just get up a little bit early, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes early. That's before your time, right? And just get up. Take a deep breath. Look outside your window. Just drink water, eat your breakfast, whatever you want to do. And just take a breath. Don't think about anything. Early morning, just look at the scenery, listen to the sounds, no sound in the early morning. Just listen to the birds, nothing. Listen to the calmness. Just, you don't want to start like, I have to do this today, right? I actually took a quick break. Speaking about it, I was going through a minor burnout. I was recording so many episodes, as I said, like I have so many episodes both in advance, like I'm recording. So like I was going, because all I thought all day was recording podcasts, scripting podcasts, editing, uploading, publishing, all that stuff. So my mind was just filled with this, and I feel like I was just working too much. So I took a break for like somewhat of a week. And now I'm back and I'm absolutely energetic for this episode. But that didn't bother me because I still have 3 months of episode left. So again, my workflow helps me take frequent breaks. So again, take a moment to appreciate and be grateful. Eat mindfully. Now I'm a hypocrite for saying this, but again, this is good. That's why I'm telling you this. I am the fastest eater in the world. I'm just gobbling up everything in the plate. But what this says, because I'm not practicing mindfulness. Some of you want to, so I'm just letting you know what it would take for practicing it. Just eat the food and chew it, right? Don't gobble it up like me. Okay, what is it? Meditate. I mean, why not? Focus on one task at a time. I mean, don't multitask. Feel feelings, don't suppress them. I feel like many times we are feeling anxiety, stress and all this stuff. Negative, obviously, but feel them, don't suppress them. When you just, like, even anger, just suppress them. You can't suppress them for long because they're going to come out. Talk them out, feel the emotions, right? But don't hide them. Create something, right? Engage in physical activities you are passionate about. AKA this podcast for me, right? Making these episodes. For you, it might be sketching, right? Some of you are very good at drawing. For some of you, it might be singing. For some of you, it might be playing instruments and making songs and covers and all that stuff, right? So whatever rocks your boat, whatever you're good at, whatever you're passionate at, you know, like engage in those activities and, you know, have fun. I mean, why not? And speaking of that, this mug, this is the official show's mug. I think I put this on the story, one of my Instagram story, like a couple of episodes, a lot of episodes ago, because it was in some episode and I put my behind the scenes all on my Instagram, right? Link in the description again. So people have started telling me like, this is merch, right? Official merchandise. I mean, it may come in the future. I'm not sure. It's too early for it now. But this is actually a mug gifted to me by my best friend. This has a photo of me on this side, a cringy photo. Again, if you can't see, just go on Instagram. And here, another photo of me, I guess, yep, handsome me. And here is the relatable Rylan. That is the previous podcast I started before. That is the logo of this that podcast. So yeah, that's this mini break. Let's talk about which habits irritates you. I love this segment. I absolutely love this segment. And some of you will absolutely agree with this. Eating noisily. Well, I used to eat with my mouth open. Okay, now I know everybody like dislike. Okay, hold on. I used to, right? But a lot of people around me apparently have made me aware that I'm eating with my mouth open, and that's annoying, right? This chewing sound. So I started putting my, you know, closing my mouth and eating the food, right? Which is now good because I'm not making any sound. So, yeah. Okay, so please, if you're a person who's still eating with the mouth open, I request you to please stop making that sounds, chewing sounds, dude. Nail biting. I was guilty of this too. I was the worst nail biter, as in, like, there is no such thing as nail clippers or scissors, right? How do you trim your nails? You bite them, right? That's how I used to do it. Now obviously I have a grooming on point. I use the nail clippers and cut my nails, but please don't bite your nails, it doesn't look good. And the last but not least, jittery legs. You know, like how people who like start vibrating their legs, you know. I, again, guilty of this. I'm guilty of everything because I'm a human, I've made mistakes, and a lot of you are, okay? A lot of you, not all of you. So it's funny because, like, I think I picked up this habit from my cousin, right? Whenever, this is like a symptom of anxiety, I think. Like, you're just anxiety, like you're playing this game and you're like, you can't see because it's under the desk. And you're moving a leg, you know, while you're shaking a leg. And then you're playing the game, it's getting intense, right? So I looked at him, I picked it up. I wasn't even feeling like doing it, but I myself started to shake my leg, you know, like up and down, up and down, up and down, you know, like up on my knee. Heel. So I started doing it. Okay, so I'm like, okay, it doesn't bother. Then you're sitting in school, public transportation, and these places, and you're sitting next to people, and people are starting, you know, like wobbling their leg. And then you start to feel it, you know, like you're trying to put your leg away so that, and then they come and you're moving the knee on your knee. That is a ridiculous experience, trust me, guys. Please don't move your knees, and if you're moving it, please don't be a vibrator to anybody else's knees. Which habits are harmful to health? Okay, now this is a good one. I will tell my suggestions which I thought first, and then I will orate suggestions, relatable stories, guys. I forget the name of my own squad, relatable story squad, aka you guys, the ones that you gave me. Okay, eating too much fast food. Which my mom didn't let me, okay? She definitely gave us a fair share, like definitely not zero, like a little bit more. I mean, a proper amount, that not tipping the unhealthy territory, you know, occasionally, that word, occasionally. Being a couch potato, lethargic, harmful to health, right? The habits. Hold on. Is this the same one? No. I don't think the relatable story squad has given me this one. I think I've been misunderstood. Okay, snacking even when you're full. Smoking, overspending your way into debt. I don't have that much money for doing that anyways. Drinking too much, feeling stressed, getting sunburned every summer. Skipping breakfast. I want to elaborate, but I'm like, why elaborate? I think you guys are smarter than me, right? Which habits are most useful? Okay, now this is a good one. Get enough sleep, obviously. The thing is, like, we are sleeping with the phones, the last thing we do. Problem is, that affects the quality of our sleep because we're not able to sleep as quickly because the blue light from our phones and our laptops and our televisions messes with the circadian rhythm in our body, which doesn't help us sleep. That's why we're not getting enough sleep, or the quality of sleep also matters. It's not just the number of hours. Rise early, obviously, because you're sleeping late, we're getting up late. Meditate daily. I mean, why not? Workout. No matter how you do it. I mean, just do cardio, do a couple of exercises, do something. Something's better than nothing. Eat a good breakfast, take a nap, don't waste time commuting. Okay, this is a good one. The far majority of us don't commute. For the office people, obviously we do. For schools, our schools are relatively closer usually. But for colleges, right, I can relate with this. Some of our colleges are pretty far away, right, if you are using the train stations. to go, you know, a couple of stations, just put that thing in your ears, your earbuds, headphones, and you start listening to my podcast, you know, like audio version if you want to. Just save your time or some other podcast, whichever you prefer, and try to use that, right? Just don't waste it. Take breaks to re-energize, which I recently did. Use a to-do list. What is the title? Which habits are most useful? Yeah. Which habits refer to self-mastery? Now, what is self-mastery, you ask? Self-mastery is often defined as self-control, the ability to exert a strong will against our impulses to steer a future to one of our choosing. Self-mastery requires having a vision for your future self and harnessing the will to realize that vision. We learn to master ourselves by getting out of our own way. What? Anyways, in short, self-control and, you know, controlling your own destiny and fate by consciously taking the decisions and doing the things that will give you your desired outcome, and stop like being a couch potato saying, yeah, the luck will do its job, I just need to sit on the couch. No, you're going to do whatever it takes from your side, and the rest, the luck will take care of it. Okay, what habits lead to the which habits refer to self-mastery? Meditation is one that I can think of, which gives you completely aware and more control over your body by being more aware of the things. Mind control. Why habits fail? That's exactly what I said in the intro. You weren't able to stick to your habit of eating healthy, working out, getting up in the morning, taking cold showers, etc. Why? I'll tell you why. It's hard enough to stick. It's hard enough starting a new habit. It's 10 times harder when you don't have enough energy to take action on it. The key point here is that the more times than not we fail to stick to our new habits because we don't have the enough energy to take action towards them. Again, that's the reason my habits fail, and you know exactly why they you cannot make them fail by using the alarm technique method, Pro Max Ultra. I was watching this guy, Rob, this YouTuber, and he makes this awesome iPhone commercials, and he's just so good. The sarcasm is on point, absolutely on point. Habit to wake up early. Allow yourself to sleep earlier. Put your alarm clock far from your bed. I forgot an hour. Okay, anyways. Go out of the bedroom as soon as you shut off the alarm. Do not rationalize. Just do it. Don't think too much. Because the first thing we do after closing the alarm is we sit on the bed as if we are hungover from the previous night. And in the mind, it's like, should I get up? Should I not? You know, like plugging rose petals. Like, just get up. Don't think it. The moment you start thinking, you're going to lead into self-doubt. And you're going to rationalize the reasons why you want to sleep more or you want to be lazy and all that stuff. Allow yourself to sleep in once in a while. That is, just don't get up 4 a.m. the entire week. Some, you know, burn out creative tasks in your habits also. Take a frequent breaks like a weekends off. Take advantage of all that extra time. Yeah, we have a lot of extra time during the day. Don't you dare tell me you don't. Okay, I know. And I know what you're doing in that time as well. You don't better not make me tell you what you are doing. And okay, and some of you must be like the new viewers. What is this podcast? I've come here to learn how to build habits. And this guy is not serious one bit. Like, how is he not giving the information on point? Mind you, this is a comedy podcast, so I have to make it a bit entertaining. So just don't expect me to read from my teleprompter. So today we're going to talk about... this is what you're looking for. I think there are way better podcasts out there which do that job. I'm trying to mix entertainment and information into infotainment for you guys. And by sharing relatable stories, of course. Habits to become successful. I think this is the last topic of the day. I just wanted to give you a heads up or planning to leave out. Habits to become successful. These are the, I guess, the habits which successful people follow. And success is subjective, but I think the billionaires, trillionaires, quadrillionaires, septillionaires, and all that stuff people follow. They get up early. They read a lot. They spend 15 to 30 minutes each day focused on thinking. They make exercise a priority because your health is wealth. And if your body is not functioning in optimal efficiency, you're not going to be living long enough or giving your productivity in your creative tasks. They spend time with people who inspire them. As I said, surround yourself with people who spark curiosity and energy and motivation and hard work in you to, you know, cross your limits and work harder and one up yourself and become better. They pursue their own goals. I mean, who doesn't pursue their own goals? I guess people who are ignorant. They get enough sleep. Of course, of course, of course. They have multiple incomes. That's where the merchandise comes in, guys. Anyways, right, so just don't put all your money in stocks or your mutual funds or any other, when you want particular scheme, just try to put little of it or something in all of them, so that if just one goes down or the value reduces or something happens, crashes, you have it. And the famous statement we or phrase we use to signify that is, don't put all of your eggs in one basket, because if that one basket falls, all of the eggs are going to break. Okay, so there are in different baskets, and one basket falls and had one egg, the other baskets are still intact. Right, yeah. And they avoid time wasters. That brings me to the thing, like, I've stopped reacting a lot, especially to text messages, like, avoid time wasters, as in the people who waste their time, who are not used to them, they just don't give them attention. So that point aside, what I wanted to say is, I try to save time. I don't know, most of us have this habit of replying to text. When somebody sends something and they say something and you say something and they say something, and then you don't have to respond to it if it's just a imperative statement. No, it's not an imperative. But anyway, it's just a statement. You don't need to reply yes, no, okay, or something. You can just leave them on scene if it's not a particularly a question, okay? You don't need to reply everything. Reply to everything. Okay, final thoughts. I really put a lot of time behind researching and gathering the information behind this episode. So I hope by now you have learned how to build habits and more. If you did, consider subscribing to receive more of such content from the YouTube gods. But before you leave, I just want to say, I know you're motivated, but don't waste it, okay? Put it to good use. I mean, don't think that you have to start eating healthy, walking out, meditating, having cold showers and everything from tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. That wasn't the intent of this podcast. The intent of the podcast was to educate you so that you know how to do this if you have to, right? And that brings me to a video I was watching on YouTube a couple of days ago for this podcast. It's going to be a long while, but Andrew Cobby, a beautiful YouTuber, okay, underrated YouTuber, but absolutely phenomenal phenomenal videos. I just love his videos. So he's a YouTuber, and he basically said in one of his videos that you don't need to follow so many habits, you know, like as the habits I mentioned just now. If you put that time and energy into something you're good at and something you love, it's equally worth it. Let me explain. Now, you may be a podcaster like me, you may be an artist, you may be a singer, a dancer, anything, right? You have your own this. You're not a cold shower taker, you're eating healthier, or a gym worker, right? Unless you're an athlete, right? You're not these people, you're other people, right? You have other talents. Instead of thinking, right, your cold showers and your eating healthy, again, they definitely play a role. I'm not saying to cut them out, but don't think they're going to kill you, right? Not waking up 4 a.m. in the morning hasn't killed anyone, right? So don't think and get have to perform them, and the moment you don't, you're going to get dejected. Use that time instead of that time you're going to spend on trying to build that habit, which you are obviously not going to be able to with the looks of it right now. Just use that into into your own work and try to master your craft. That is, if you're an artist, sketch more. If you're a musician, practice more. If you're into creative writing, write more. If I'm a podcaster, I'll record more episodes. I'll script more. I'll learn more, right? Instead of just thinking I need to practice these habits to make me successful. After all, at the end of the day, this is a podcast. This is what you guys are going to see. And if I get good at this, the quality of this will directly improve, right? If I get good at this, So, instead of holding yourself accountable to practicing all these habits that you see all these rich people follow, and you think that is the thing that will make you successful. They might be doing these habits and they definitely have their place, but they are not successful because of these habits. They are successful because of the things they are good at. They are businessmen, business people, right? They are good at selling things, right? Your Bezos and your Bill Gates, Microsoft, he was good at software, right? Microsoft. So they were good at their things and that made them rich. And now they follow these habits, or they followed it along the way. These habits didn't make them successful, right? For Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos didn't get rich by having cold showers and waking up at 4 a.m., right? You get the point. Use those as if you don't want to. Put them into habits, into your own craft,